Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
After the 9/11 attacks, there was an uptick in the number of people studying the Arab world and Arabic in the United States, a shift from the studies that were more popular following World War II and the Cold War. But now, as political tensions rise between the U.S. and Russia, are U.S. universities ready to shift focus again and put more resources into Russian studies? Joining us now is Regina Smith, who's an associate professor of political science and director of the Russian Studies Workshop at Indiana University in Bloomington, which, by the way, last month received a $1 million grant from the Carnegie Corporation to strengthen its Russian studies program. Regina, welcome.
Hello, and thank you.
Well, and how would you describe the current state of Russian studies in the U.S.?
So I would say that the state of Russian studies is ascendant. For a long time after the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, there was a decline in the concentration of Russian studies across the board, across all approaches to studying the region. And now we're starting to regain interest, resources, and students.
But is it difficult to find the people to teach the classes, to teach about Russian studies because of the fact that there was a decline in interest after the end of the Cold War?
So right now we're in a sweet spot where the old folks are still here and there are enough new PhDs coming up to fill the slots. But there's a crisis coming. There's an issue coming.
What is the crisis that's coming?
The crisis is that the lack of interest in the Soviet period in the late 1990s and early 2000s led to a dearth or a lack of specialists being trained at the top U.S. universities to be in government, business, non-governmental organizations, and then to be back in academia to train the next generation.
What about students? Are you finding that there are a lot more students now that want to go into this field?
So I wouldn't say there are a lot. There's a rising number. We're not anywhere near close to where we were in 1988, 89, and 90. But there is increased interest, and we're all very enthusiastic about that.
And are the students that are coming in trained in the kinds of things that it's helpful to know when you're going into Russian studies? And I'm thinking even of the Russian language. A lot of high schools probably used to have Russian as one of the languages you could take and then maybe did away with it, started teaching Mandarin or Arabic just as the trends changed. Are you finding that students are able to have the knowledge they need to go into Russian studies?
So you're actually exactly right about following the trends, and language training does tend to follow the trends. You can make a lot of money in China, or the Middle East is now a large security problem for the U.S., and students tend to follow those news stories. But Russian was never prevalent at the high school level, unfortunately. And where Russian training was located was at, I would say, a handful of really top university programs within the United States. And those programs have largely been sustained, thankfully. And what we're seeing is student interest returning to engaging Russian language training early in their college career, so as freshmen or sophomores.
Is there something different in the way that you teach Russian studies now, given all that's happened since the end of the Cold War?
Yeah, so two things happened simultaneously between 1990 and 1995. And one was the collapse of the Soviet Union and the end of the Cold War, and the other was how we study these regions. So for a long time after World War II, university focus on regional studies was organized just that way in terms of in-depth knowledge. Around the mid-1980s, we started to have disciplinary revolutions where the way in which we study countries changed to stress statistics and theoretic inquiry as opposed to deep knowledge. And now we're circling back and trying to mesh those two things. That is, join deep knowledge of a region with strong disciplinary training.
Students can only learn so much in a classroom, obviously. What does it take to really develop a deep understanding of Russian culture and politics and Russian relations?
Well, what it really takes is the capacity to be in Russia or any other country that you're trying to study. So it's very hard to have a deep understanding without walking the streets, attending classes in the universities, talking to people, sitting around a kitchen table. Russians are known for kitchen talk. That is sort of hard, factual talk about politics and life around the kitchen table. And that's where you really learn. And so for students, it's imperative that they spend time in the country in order to really understand how to study that country.
What do your students end up doing after they're done with their studies?
So our undergraduate students go on to work in the government. I have several students who go on to work in the Peace Corps, both in the post-communist region and beyond. We have lots of students who work in business after they graduate. Our PhD candidates generally teach, so they get jobs at universities and become the trainers of the next generation.
That's Regina Smith, who is an associate professor of political science and director of the Russian Studies Workshop at Indiana University in Bloomington. Regina Smith, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.